Welcome to another episode of the Walker Family Business Show. We're so grateful that you joined us today for another episode. We are going to be talking today about hashtag the real story. This is really where we're going to go through what it was like for us when we first started building our company together as a couple. And now, if you had listened to a previous episode, you would have heard that Tan had actually started business 5 years before myself while I was pursuing a professional athletic career. And then we met in a coffee shop where that coffee
Once
shop.
Upon a time.
That's right. I got a double shot of espresso and a little bit of love on the side. And
oh my gosh, that's not at all what happened.
so corny. But, you know, the story is very real. You know, we met at a coffee shop. I found out she had mentors and coaches and people helping her in life to become successful. And that's really what I wanted. So we pursued those relationships and now it's been 11 years together. But this episode, we're going to go through what it was like in the very beginning together as a couple. And let me tell you, cut right to the chase. It wasn't pretty. There was challenges. There was obstacles. There was heartbreaks, there was, you know, just really everything that we went through. So we're going to go through some of that today and hopefully just really give you some hope, because at the end of the day, how do you know you're succeeding? Oftentimes because you're failing every step of the way with a good attitude. And that was
I didn't
important
have a good attitude.
So we had to learn that. So
that's
the light at the end of the tunnel.
Thank you for the compliment, but I did not have a good attitude.
That's right. So why don't you jump in a little bit and just share with us what it was like from your perspective as we got together as a couple and really started pursuing a life together and a business together.
Absolutely. And I think that was probably one of the things that was the most difficult for me as far as challenges go. And maybe something that I didn't expect to be a complication in the beginning. I was so excited about having a partner to do life with. I was in my 30s and I had been waiting for Mr. Right. You know, I had a fridge list. Mr. Fridge, we called him. But I had a list of all the things that I wanted in a husband. I had all this big plan. And then you came along and you literally surpassed basically everything on that list. Basically everything. Like,
I'll give you $5 for saying that. You hear it here first. That's
but
crazy.
Just the funny little things.
You're
that
so
I,
sweet. Thank you for saying that, babe.
Even just like the little things that I, you know, had on there that I wanted you to, you know, treat your mom like gold. And the first time I heard you communicate to your mom, she came around the corner and you were like, I thought I heard an angel. And I was like, oh my gosh, like so cheesy. Like no one actually talks to their mother that way. And she laughed and said, he's talked to me that way his whole life. And so I just really appreciated who you were. And you genuinely were those things on the list. So I was really surprised when we merged our lives and it was hard. It was really hard for me. Some of the bigger things at the very beginning was learning how to share something I had done with, I love now, looking back on it, oh my gosh, your fresh perspective, your new set of eyes on what I had built. I should have seen that as like a, come, show me what I'm missing. Like, let's work together and collaborate. That's my heart now. But it's my heart because you helped me see that. We read John Maxwell's Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And there was some laws in there that I sucked at so badly. And you like epitomized like the law of curiosity. And there was so many things in there that I was like, oh, I need to work on this. I need to grow here. But you were quite just like, I wouldn't say you were naturally gifted because you've always worked on things, but there were some areas where you had strengths that I did not. And I wish going back on it, like I can see now, oh my goodness, what a gift it was to have you come in and have this fresh, beautiful, new perspective on something that I'd been doing for 5 years. But at the time, that was hard. And I wouldn't have said that was hard because I'm not really a, you know, control freak, I wouldn't say. But at the time, learning how to share a life and build it together, that was probably one of my biggest obstacles, hurdles to overcome. And then learning how to communicate with you without being a total softie and becoming like the victim of my circumstances every single time. I was such a weenie back then.
Well, there's lots to say. There's lots to say about the fact that naturally I'm a curious person. So I did come in and ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, you did.
But I also would say that in my 20s, I had a lot more arrogance too of like, this is the way it should be. It's basically opinionitis. You know, you have a disease where you have an opinion with no results. So this is the way it should be, Mr. 20-year-old, you know.
Based on my theories.
Yeah, based on my theories. And, you know, you'd like to say that. But there was probably an element of that for sure, I wouldn't doubt. But the reason why this is an important subject to start off this podcast with is because I was sitting down with a great friend of mine the other day and we were talking and I said, how does your wife help out in the business? He said, oh, business is not her thing at all. It's only my thing. Mm. And I say, with all due respect, I would just like to ask you a question on the validity of that statement, because the reality is, as a couple, there is no such thing as his and hers. Mm. And as much as the American way, the North American way, has really put that brand, it's like, this is my way, this is her way, this is my career, this is her career. I mean, even when we start young from the boys and girls, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. And we don't start with the family first. We don't start with, here's our purpose as a family. We always talk about what's your purpose as an individual, yeah. What's your goals. I mean, we're coming to the end of the year and the New Year's is coming up. Ooh, people are going to talk about their goals in the New Year. But we're not taught as kids to think about what's the family mission going to be and how is each role, the husband and the wife role, playing a part in winning that war of the ultimate legacy of the family, not just the individuals in the family. So he was like, well, that's actually a really interesting point. So we ended up talking about it. And what Tan is talking about here for you listening is, if you are the business owner and your wife is not, or you're the business owner and your husband is not, I would encourage you to bring each other into the conversation more. And that process there might take a little bit of work. And why would you bring the person on the inside? Because my wife knows me better than anybody else on the planet. She sees me more than anybody else on the planet. And she knows where my weaknesses are and she knows where my strengths are. And I need both to become a champion. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the most vulnerable things, men, to be able to ask your wife, show me where you think I'm the weakest. Mm-hmm. and just have that real transparency. But I do have a great wife and she is willing to share those things with encouragement as well and learn how to work together as a partner. So that's why I just am really such a big believer that it's not his thing or her thing and business is her thing or his thing. It's more about a family thing. And what is a family trying to accomplish? And so early on, it was me kind of coming in with a bit of a wrecking ball with opinionitis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, help me understand, like I have all these questions on how we're going to build a business because she built our company for the first 5 years and then me coming in afterwards. So that was a big deal, was learning how to have grace for one another.
Yeah.
And understand that one solution would be, A, it's going to take time to be able to thrive on a new level with your relationship.
Yeah.
But then also something that we are big, massive believers in, which is called executive meetings.
Oh, good topic. I think executive meetings are important, not just for couples working together in any sort of business capacity or even just in life. My goodness, how do you get through a week with all the moving parts of children and careers and obstacles and things being done? How do you get through any of that without having like a little powwow, you know, from time to time? So we do weekly meetings for sure. Also little recaps, 5 minute little, hey, I need you. Is now a good time? We need to chat through the calendar a little bit for this week, or is it a good time for us to look at our calendar for tomorrow? But we really try to schedule those at the tail end of the week, facing the new week, hitting it off right. And then also, like, those executive meetings are so important for us as a couple. But even before I met you, I did them. That was actually one of our first conversations that we had.
We both did, yeah.
You said, I have these like little executive meetings with myself every week. And I was like, no, you don't. Who are you? Do you know me? Is this a setup? Like, I thought you were like lying and my friends had like, were playing a trick on me because you used some of the vernacular that I used, like some of the same words that I used to describe some of the just habits in my life. You did those things already. And so when I'd been doing those things, just a weekly opportunity for me to take stock. What was the week before like? How did it go? Quick evaluation. Anything I need to finish up, close off, apologize for, mm-hmm. Go back and praise someone for, things like that. What were my biggest distractions? How was my budget? How was my time budget? You know, kind of really look at the week before and then set up a game plan for the coming week. What am I doing? When am I doing it? How am I doing it? What events am I attending? What do I need to have prepared for that? Just to get ahead of the week. I was the girl that would forget her own lunch and not bring it to work with her. And I became the girl that like was ready days in advance for the things that were coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm still that way. Like, and I continue to elevate in that regard, but I really had to build that. But those executive meetings, man, we wouldn't have what we have at all if it wasn't for those.
Yeah. You know, 100% budgets, you know, doing our budget and making sure we're on track with that on a weekly basis as well. This is important. Again, this comes into the fact that husbands and wives are in business together, even if they might not be on the board or actually doing anything within the business from that side, because you're running a family and the family business is, are we accomplishing the goals that we set out to? Mm-hmm. And that's why I referred to this earlier, is that there's no such thing as his business or her business, because really there's ours. So this weekly executive meeting for us was a way to sit down and just plan out and lay out, are we on track for our family mission? Do we even know what that family mission is? Do we know what the family mission is overall? And, you know, for us, one of our big missions, one of our big dreams is we would love to have like 100 grandkids. You know, we want to have a big, huge family. And my goal is to pinch your wrinkly butt when we're 95 years old.
Doesn't that sound?
Oh, so attractive. I can't wait. The cutest little thing ever. But I can't wait to be super old with you. And like, you know, it just would be so fun. So we look at this and we go, here's the overall vision and the mission for our life. We want to be found on a mission constantly, never retiring. We want to continue to get better year after year, growing personally, growing spiritually, growing in every area of our life. And so we're very intentional with that. So then we break it down to going, now here's our weekly executive meeting on how we do that. Yeah. So we need to be on track. How are we with our personal habits? How are we with raising the kids? Is there anything we're noticing in our children that we need to bring up? Maybe we're too much into the business land and we need to have a little bit more invested time with the kids.
Yeah.
Maybe we're doing too much and we need to hand things off to an executive of ours or a leader of ours or whatever. But if you don't know, it's the law of awareness that John Maxwell talks about. If you're not aware of what's going on in your life, how in the world are you building it? Mm-hmm. You're not building a life. You're not building a business. So for us sitting down as a couple and asking, I mean, sometimes we'd even have things that were bothering one another and we'd bring it up at these conversations. Now it turned out that was not necessarily our style. We would prefer to talk about it in the moment.
Somebody gave us that perspective and we tried it.
We did.
But there's something to be said for that.
What was that perspective? Go into that.
The perspective was like, don't get it out in the moment when you're highly emotional about it, because
when you're frustrated. So if there's something
you're frustrated, you got to like take it, write it down and bring it up in the meeting. So what would end up happening is that I'd get mad and then I'd stop talking and bring out my phone and make a note about what I was going to bring up.
What are you writing down?
What are you even writing? And then we just would fight over that. And then we would get to the meeting and we already knew what they were going to bring up because we remember the fight in the car that we just
for like 3 days because we didn't work on it. So it was like,
totally, it was terrible. That did not work for us.
It's like slow cooking until we could blast it open in a pressure cooker.
That one, and I wouldn't say it's bad for everybody, but I do think it's good to like take a minute.
For some people it could work.
Yeah. And we don't necessarily do well when we just like go full force, like guns blazing, because we fight differently and we communicate differently. We have very different strengths and weaknesses that don't always do well when we get into a squabble, which we don't actually have as many anymore.
Intense fellowship.
It's the come to Jesus meeting.
Sure.
With your spouse. But we, you know, at the end of the day, like you have to learn how to fight as much as you have to learn how to love. Mm. And you do have to learn how to work through the more problematic situations in your relationship if you're going to have a good business, family, all the things, you know? We really made a great team when it came to working through some of those things. But that was just about that perspective about executive meetings.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't do that anymore. We didn't like pile up all the problems to bring up in the executive meeting.
Yeah.
Because you bring up the first problem and you didn't accomplish any of the things like budget and week and
just,
anything.
You just argued for 30 minutes on that one problem. You could have solved in the moment for like 30 seconds. Yeah, totally. However, the greatest bit of advice that I have ever received, and I give it to you now, and I promise you, this will change your life.
I'm waiting.
If you need to bring up something intense with your spouse that could be an argument, this is a very simple solution. Take your clothes off. Do you remember that advice we got?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we've done it before too, and it was hilarious.
It was funny.
We showed up to a meeting and I'm pretty sure I sat there naked in town and was like, what in the world is going on?
I was just like, you were laughing so hard.
But it was true, you know, anyways. It is true. You know, learn to laugh. But we did try that.
And we also learned.
It worked because it was, it was just kind of, it's hard to get mad at somebody when they're standing naked and you're just like, well, here we are.
We sure are.
So at an executive meeting, if you have a very difficult conversation to break up with your spouse, just take your clothes off. There you go.
That's some perspective.
So true. Anyways, executive meetings have been very helpful for us. You know, getting through our calendar, as Tan talked about, getting through our mission, are we on point, getting through raising our kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, things on our business list, we were able to talk through and talk about. And
we learned how to do that, though.
And it's gotten busier. I mean, as in the fact of now that we have three children, because when we started, obviously we didn't have any kids. So now mm-hmm. we're doing mini executive meetings every day mm-hmm. and seemingly okay. throughout the day, you know, yep. a couple of 5-minute sessions here or there just to make sure we're on the right track, following the calendar and everything else. So that's been very mm-hmm. helpful. The other thing that we went through that I'd love to chat with you about and the audience is going and building a business. You are going to put your head above the crowd in the sense that you're going against the current. My mom used to always tell me in life and in business, she'd say, any dead fish can go with the current, mm-hmm. but you have to be alive to go against it. And then they'd followed up with one of my favorites, just because everybody's jumping off a bridge, does that mean you have to as well? Now, here's the problem. If you are the buffalo that is deciding not to run off the cliff when everyone else has a frenzy and runs off the cliff and you turn around, what are you going to receive? You are going to receive tension and pressure and disapproval and rejection.
Feedback.
And, you know, mm-hmm. quote unquote, I need to give you the gift of feedback where people maybe think that you're doing something wrong or whatever. Like we've had everything. I mean, when we started our yeah. companies, we've had people, you know, say we were doing pyramid schemes and scams and cults and illegal activity. Yeah. And we've been called every name in the book. And it was something, to be honest, I didn't expect. You know, I kind of knew because in football I got a lot of that, you know, but that was kind of to your, maybe on a different team, and it was kind of more just chirping and chatter.
Yeah, and, it's to be expected.
You know, but like to me, when I was like, hey, I'm going to go out there and build a great life, and I started telling people about it, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden you do get, you know, all of this criticism, and you're like, what's going on? And I kind of really hurt because I like when people approve, and I think that's really a natural human instinct, but I've learned now that that really doesn't matter at all, but I know you and I have talked a lot about this, and now we coach through it all, but talk to us about that experience from your end, and I want to share some thoughts on this too.
Totally. And I come from a perspective of, like, I genuinely believe in being a life-giving person. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something that is it's a kind of a core value I've realized over the last couple of years specifically. And so I love the idea of having people in my life feel like I got to breathe life into them. So because that's the way my mind works, it was very shocking to me.
Yeah.
To have people oppose me. Almost like it was like, yeah, that whole concept of like opposition. It wasn't even like confrontation, like someone coming to me saying, hey, what are you working on? It's different. I have some questions. It was like my friends, there was one particular experience where I got together with some friends. I brought my new business card. I'd started my first company. I was reading personal growth and self-development books. I was so excited. I'd bought these business cards. I had them made. And as we were talking at this just kind of dinner with some friends, we talked about some books. And one of my friends had said, oh, what is that book? I really want to read it. So I took out my new business card. I was so excited. I had printed. I turned it over and I wrote on the back the name of the book that we talked about. And I said, there it is. And because back then, I mean, you couldn't just like add it to your Amazon cart.
Yeah.
This was like 16 years ago. But
those were the stone ages.
Stone ages where there was these things called pens, yeah. which I still use all day long, every day.
Yeah.
And I wrote the name of the book down and I gave it to her. And I said, and also I started my own company. I'm really excited. I want to share it with you guys at some point, but like, that's not what we were talking about. And so we obviously kind of conversation I thought would continue. And she was like, oh yeah, so-and-so, I won't name names here, but so-and-so warned me about that. And I was like, warned you? What do you mean? Like, I was so proud of what I had started and what I had earned. You know, I'd gone through a couple of months to earn the opportunity to work with some successful entrepreneurs. They took me on as a partner. I was so pumped about that. And my dearest friends had warned my other friends about what I was working on. And I remember feeling very like curious, hurt for sure, sad. I don't know that I was angry yet at that time. I just was really confused, honestly. And I'm so grateful that because I'd gone through this process of developing a relationship with Liz, which we talked about in our last episode, that my first thought was instead of like doing something about it after this dinner was over, I called her and I was like, I don't know what to do here. You know, this is a new issue in my life that I kind of hadn't done that before. I hadn't ever done anything that brought my head up above the crowd. I'm short, man. I'm 5'2". Actually, I'm 5'3". Fun fact, you can grow in your 30s if you have babies. I did. I grew. So I'm 5'3", not a tall person, not used to having my head above the crowd, but all of a sudden, you know, got hit with a tomato. And I wasn't used to what that felt like. And so my first thought was, I'm glad my first thought was not to quit, to cower, to walk away. My first thought was to lean in to the person that had the life that I was trying to build. And I think that's one of the key principles that I'm so grateful that I think I just instinctively got. But if I could just have you hear that, like, lean in to the person that lives like you want to live. Because if you get around them and you hear their perspective, because I called her and she was so lovely and she didn't hate on my friends. She didn't gossip about them. She didn't say anything bad about them. She said she probably just said that because she's concerned about you and she was being honest and, hey, good for her for being honest. And she gave me some really beautiful feedback, really beautiful conversation. I felt heard. I felt supported and kind of put back on my feet and excited to give out my business card again. I'm really, really, really grateful that that happened. But also, you know, as I hit those tests and barriers, that was new for me. And so I had to build an entirely new skill set. And I'd say maybe even that first year was just about learning how to have my friends see it differently. And actually, that's not a bad thing. Now I love that kind of thing. Now it's like, oh my gosh, we see it differently. Let's talk about that. I'm so excited to have a conversation with you about that. But initially, that was really difficult for me.
Yeah, as a spouse and as a couple, like, you just want to fix it. You want it to go away.
Yeah.
But in business, you're always going to have somebody. And in fact, probably the majority of people, they will maybe not understand you. And I wanted people to understand us. Now, what I've learned, though, is that we can't get upset that other people that don't have our vision see what we see.
Yeah.
So if they see what they see, that's great. But to your point, this is an important principle because, you know, whatever business you're starting, I mean, with our company, and one of the things that we partner with is a company called Amway. And, you know, there's a million and one different ways to build companies and partnerships and licenses. However, how we built our company was very, very unique. And there were some people that have had experiences with certain ways of building business. And I know, you know, we've been involved in many different styles and types of businesses over the years. And I'm also in the business of leadership with some of the largest leadership companies in the world. And I've seen a lot of different opportunities. And no matter what the opportunities are, there'll be criticism from somebody.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, oh, these things don't work. Or, you know, oh, I've seen people that tried to build a company once. And I mean, we used to be involved in real estate, still are in some degree.
We
really love and enjoy real estate. But, you know, there is, for every single success story, there's 100,000 failures. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we have to ask ourselves, well, then what makes people successful? And it's Tan's point that I think was really important that you just made was she leaned into successful people and wanted perspective on how to get through the tough times mm-hmm. and how to get through the challenges, because school teaches you lessons and then you take a test. But life is opposite. Life gives you tests until you learn the lesson.
Ooh, say it again.
And in building a life of success, you will be failing 80% of the time and succeeding 20. Mm-hmm. That's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard for a person that doesn't understand why they're doing it.
And it's why it's hard if you're doing it alone.
100%.
That's why you need people.
Yeah. Yep. So school says if you get 20% of things right in a given year, well, that's called a big old fat F, and you failed and flunked the year. Mm-hmm. But Elon Musk, look at how many times they tried to fly a rocket before the company was on the verge of bankruptcy. Everything was blowing up, and then all of a sudden it won, and they call him lucky. Mm-hmm. No, that's willing to fail and willing to fail forward and continuing to ask, how do we get better? How do we improve it? How do we push the ball forward? That's why I love curious people. That's why I love people that are – they have a gritty spirit. So you show me a person that's not financially successful, but they have a – refusal to quit and an openness to coaching and curiosity, I'll show you the next person that's successful. Mm-hmm. Because entrepreneurs can't be stopped. We've met 1,001 different quitters, and you will never be successful at anything. And it's really, really challenging to go through life with that mindset of, I'll give it a shot. But why give life a shot when you only have one life? You've got to be willing to throw your heart over the bar and get after it. And so, you know, going through different seasons of challenges and do people approve or not approve or, you know, getting rejection or getting all this stuff. You know, first of all, I think sometimes people worry about opportunity because opportunity often costs money. And the big question for business is, what if I fail? If I put all my time and money into it, what if I fail? And that's a very good point. But currently, are you okay with the trajectory of the rest of your life? Mm. And for Tan and I, the answer was yes and no. Yes, we're glad we have each other, but no, we would like to actually go and give it a shot, because what if we fly? What if we actually did make it work? And what if you think about it that way? Well, how do we make it work? Well, we know we're willing to work hard. Mm-hmm. And we need to find people that are successful to teach us how to grow in life. And over the span of now 11 plus years of working together, we've been able to, you know, build multiple opportunities and grow on that. But it really started with well, how come everyone's all of a sudden like disagreeing with it? It's because we're separating ourselves from the crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, we decided like as
John
an example,
Maxwell says, elevating from the people pile.
Yeah, get out of the people pile.
Get out of the people pile.
Yeah, it sounds like a wonderful thing until you realize getting out of the people pile sometimes isolates you. Mm-hmm. And next thing you realize, you're sitting down at Christmas dinner and you might be the only one that is looking at 2025 saying, oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Yeah. I got my hopes up, man.
I got my hopes so up. Yeah. I've got a huge future. And you might be the only one, because everyone else around you might be saying, okay, you know.
When you heard that for the first time, get your hopes up. Mm-hmm. So I was, my mindset was, I don't want to get my hopes up, because that's what I had heard my whole life. I remember specifically the day when I was challenged on that thought, where I said, well, I just don't want to get my hopes up. And Liz says a lot of my stories start there, because she was that first kind of oak tree person in my life that shook it up, you know? And she was like, why not? And I was like, excuse me? Like, no one had ever said that. Why right. don't you want to get your hopes up? She's like, what if we did get our hopes up? What if we went out there and like lived a life like that? And that was such news to me. But was your brain, like, did you hear that when you were growing up?
My parents were really good at that. But the other thing is, could you, like here's the thing. Here's a perfect example. Do you remember in the movie Batman where what's his name? Ra's al Ghul, Bane.
Oh, yeah.
And Batman breaks his back and then gets thrown into this pit, and they have this tunnel of doom or whatever they call it. Basically, I don't remember what they call it, but there is a way out, but nobody's ever made it except this one person that is the ultimate bad guy. And so Batman is just like, well, I'm going to try to get out. He keeps trying and keeps failing. And then finally they ask him, well, how did he do it? Mm-hmm. And found out that the way he did it is without the rope. And so here's why Batman got out of that cave, because he had one chance. He either made it or he died.
Yeah.
And living this lie of don't get your hopes up, I guarantee you, you'll stay in a cave, because you're always attached to the rope of the safety of your current situation.
Yeah.
And there comes a time in a life for a man or a woman where you have to decide, are you going to be all that you are called to be? Or are you going to stay tied up by a rope to safety?
Wow.
And I know for us, one of the reasons why we knew we were going to be successful is not simply because we knew we were willing to do what it takes and leave the rope behind, but that's why we're grateful for having mentors, because show me your mentor and I'll show your future. Mm-hmm. And so in that beginning season of like maybe some criticisms or people not understanding, why would we do a side hustle when, you know, you made a good income? I didn't at the time at all. But, you know,
yeah.
I would get this all the time. I would go to work and I would, you know, leave at 6, come home at 6 after the commute and everything. And then I would stay out until midnight building a company for myself. And people thought I'd be crazy, because they're like, oh, did you see that TV show on this, that, or the other? Or, you know, hey, let's go play some Xbox Live. Or, hey, do you want to go and, you know, do this? And I'd be like, no, I'm actually in the middle of stuff right now. What are you doing? Well, I'm working. And they're like, what are you working on? I'm like, well, I'm building my own company. And they're like, you're crazy. You just went to work all day. And I said, yeah, I know. Maybe I'm crazy, but to me, I'm actually really excited, because I'm building a future. Mm-hmm. And I love the quote, you know, your income, your life is paid for from 9 to 5, but your lifestyle is paid from 5 to midnight. And I just really enjoyed knowing that everything I was doing outside my working hours was going to allow me to lead to something successful long term. And so I was willing to make some sacrifices so that we can ultimately have a life. Mm-hmm. So people thought we were crazy after hours doing that, but we loved that.
Still do. My kids go to bed and it's like we get to turn on at a different level. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I really appreciate that.
I guess it's kind of like we're Batman then.
Okay.
we put our suits on at night, I guess, right?
That's a good analogy.
But, you know, those are perfect examples. If you want to have a different life, you have to be willing to do things differently. And so if you look at the masses and you are doing what they're doing, chances are you'll have what they're having. And that's where and why we needed to learn to do things differently. So we invested in our time. We invested in our business. We invested in our personal growth and mm-hmm. each other. And I think that's a big reason as to why we have what we have today.
Absolutely. And talk to me about investing when it feels like that doesn't make sense. Maybe somebody, you know, like there was times where there was struggle financially and there was an active choice. Like, because when you and I met, our situation was a little bit different, but there was an active choice to invest in your company, time and financially, when you didn't really have time or finances, but you did it anyways. And it almost felt like you were working from the negative.
Pastor Chris Hodges says something really powerful. He says, the lowest times in your life will be the lowest dreaming season of your life. And so what we needed to learn in this moment was we needed to learn how to dream and think about the big picture.
Yeah.
It's just like if you bang your knee and if you stare at your knee and you focus on how painful it is, it accentuates. We have a daughter that's kind of like that. So not naming any names, of course, but what do we do as parents? Well, we don't just say, you know, stop feeling because that's silly. It's right. we teach her how to breathe and start thinking about something else. You know, so it's breathing physically and then putting herself in a mental state to think about something different than just how much it hurts for the boo-boo. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing in life in this opportunity with building a life too. The only way you're going to get through the hard things is by having the right perspective, which is why are you doing it? That's the fuel of it all. And so building a big dream, I think, is really, really key and crucial. And I would encourage you to do that and to spend time doing that and just asking yourself some questions. Like I have to ask myself, if I won the lottery right now and I had a few million dollars, no debt, what would I do with that money? And I would just dream build and think about, you know, who would I give money to? Where would I travel to? What would I buy my wife? What would I buy myself? You know, so taking the time to think about that. Now, the most exciting dreams are not just material stuff, but I would also ask myself, you know, what would be something that I could do with my legacy and think about the next generation, right? There's four types of dreamers. Number one, someone that doesn't have a dream. Number two, someone that has the wrong style dream, which is more only about possessions. The reason why it's maybe not the wrong, but it's the lowest level because it's very temporary. If you chase that one forever, you'll be an empty person, right? Stuff only lasts so long. Toys break, memories last forever, right? Yeah. So the third thing is you have a dream, but it's gone stale. And then the fourth thing is you have a dream and it's moving you. And so it's bigger than yourself.
It's good.
The only way you're going to become great in your dreaming is, and I know it might sound kind of silly to talk about dreams, but it's very, very important. In fact, the original word back in the original languages of mankind of dreaming was actually so closely tied to the word health that some translators throughout history have been uncertain which word they should use, dreaming or being healthy.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And that's why there's an old saying from the Bible that says a man without a vision will perish. A man without a dream will perish. What that means is dreaming is synonymous with health, which means what are we looking forward to? What are we excited about for the future?
Wow.
And that is a big part of what got me through the tough times was putting it into perspective. Like, really, is this actually tough? Like I may be getting some business plans that are not going through. Maybe I have some challenges with one of my leaders. Maybe I have some challenges with one of my customers. And, you know, maybe I'm having a challenge financially this month and, oh my gosh, my life is so hard done by. And what is that really? You're losing perspective and your gratitude tank is completely empty. Mm-hmm. And so that's why practicing gratitude and practicing dreaming have been so important for us. Like, wait a second, I'm so grateful that I have these challenges. Yeah. Because what would the alternative be? You know, sitting down playing video games, watching my life disappear? No thanks. You know what I mean? So it's a place of gratitude and then dreaming. What could our life be like? And that way we wake up every morning and everything becomes in context. We get so excited about where we're going because of what we're doing. And not because of what we're thinking, but what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Big difference between those two things.
And like who we can help as well on the way. Recently I've read quite a few things and heard several talks about the dream from people I kind of didn't expect them to talk about it, you know?
Sure.
So I was like, really? Like, that's a big deal. It is a big deal. And most of us don't have a big enough dream because it doesn't encompass other people. A lot of us focus more on, like, my dream, what I want. I want these, you know, acres or this, you know, beachfront property or this vehicle, or I want this or that, you know? But, like, how does that impact the world around you? And what are you doing to increase other people's dreams? Does your dream encompass others? And is it, because I, like, that's what all of these speakers and authors have said recently that have been really hit by again and reminded of, that our dream has to be bigger than us. Because if it's about us and we can do it, then it's not going to help others the way that, what I really truly believe that it's meant to, for sure. I feel like you touched on so many things I could ask you questions about, but we are running to the end of our time. I do have a question for you. Are you done?
No, go ahead.
I'm going to kind of like throw it out there. I didn't prep you for this, but I was thinking about while you were talking, but one of our goals is to equip and empower.
Mm-hmm.
We want to multiply. We do not, I mean, sure, we can add, but our goal is to multiply.
Yeah.
And sharing the lessons in leadership that we've learned from our journey in a family business together, and then continuing to raise these kids. Oh my gosh, I want to talk about that maybe on our next one, but about our kids and raising them to be entrepreneurs and kind of carry on from our shoulders forward. But how can we equip, say, let's say, a new entrepreneur, somebody that's just starting to look at that, with the fact that those obstacles and challenges are going to come at them. Those, you know, confrontation, whatever you want to look at it. Confrontation really just means come front to front, to confront, to face something. That's not necessarily bad, but maybe the conflicts, the things that are going to come up and challenge them as they're building something new, doing something different, getting out of the people pile, raising their head above the crowd. How can we equip those people? Maybe some simple steps that we can equip and sort of share with them. Here's some things, here's a bit of a game plan to help you in that journey.
Yeah, so let's kind of summarize everything that we went through, because I think this is really important. Number one is, remember that having things like your executive meetings to keep you on track are very important. You ever hear the saying, you only live once? It's not actually true, you only live twice. Meaning you've got to have things written down. What are you thinking about that you should be inking about? Oh. Writing down. What needs to be written down in your life is putting those things on paper and actually like planning it out, writing it out on your dreams, your visions, your future, your plan of action and everything else, and have executive meetings with yourself or your family or your wife in those situations too, to help you continue to maintain that. And the next thing really is continuing to make time and prioritize dream building and putting yourself in that mindset and that mind space. So if you're, let's say, newer to all of this and this is a challenge for you, I would, with my attitude, first of all, so that those are the logical things. So have them written down, put things in your calendar, you know, do things that inspire you, go to places that inspire you, whatever you need to do, kind of the bucket list style things that you're dreaming about. But the emotional side of this whole equation is making sure that you expect it. There's going to be challenges, so I expect them to happen. I'm not surprised by them. And that's how you know that it's actually working. Because as an example, when I used to play football, and if I ever got, like, right before a football game, ever got nervous, which, you know, happened less and less as the years went on, but especially in the very beginning, and it was almost like debilitating, where it was like, man, this is like, I'm like really, really nervous. And I was taught, and I still remember this lesson still to this day, describe the difference between the feeling of fear and excitement. You can't, because it's the same physiological thing. It's the same physical response in your body. In fact, I had a conversation with my daughter about this the other day before she went down this crazy cool water slide. I said, what's the difference between, she's like, oh man, I'm getting all these butterflies. My tummy's feeling crazy. And I said, so what's the difference between fear and excitement? Are you excited? And she's like, yeah, I'm excited. And I said, what's the difference between fear and excitement? She said, what you do with it. And I was so proud of her, because that's absolutely true. And so those butterflies mean you're ready to go. So expect it. When it's there,
be looking for it, in fact. Like, when you're going through the challenges, be looking for those moments to be like, here it is. This is the part where I'm supposed to step in, step forward, and this is how I'm going to build what nobody else will, because I'm the one that says, I'm going to go forward right now instead of back.
But what if it doesn't work? Who cares? Because the second thing is, what did you learn?
Mm-hmm.
right? What are you learning from these steps? Yeah. And there's so many people that have concrete in their shoes. Mm-hmm. They're so afraid to, well, I don't know if it's the right time, or I don't know if this is for me, or I don't know this, or I don't know that. Yeah, but you're wasting time. Mm-hmm. And this might not be the thing, but do the thing that's right in front of you, and it'll lead to the thing that will be before you.
We look at our lives and our marriage for 10 years, not only yearly, but probably closer to monthly. This happens to us where it's like, I don't know, man, this doesn't really feel like we're on the right path, but oh, look at that. There's the trail we were looking for, you know, and continue. And the doors continue to open.
That's right.
Because we're moving forward.
Yep. Yeah. So number one, expect it. Mm-hmm. The butterflies mean go. That's a good thing. You're not supposed to make butt prints in the sand. You're supposed to make footprints in the sand. Go. What's the worst? I remember my dad being like, well, what happens if these coaches of yours back in the time, this was 11 years ago, what if they like scammed you? And I was like, how? I don't have any money. So obviously I've got nothing to lose. They have everything to lose.
That's a good point.
But it's so funny. People live with all these false like things that they're afraid of. They're like, really, what's the worst that could happen? You lose some money? Okay, you start over again. Yeah. You know, for us, what if it's right though? What if it's real? So don't put concrete in your shoes. The only way to get forward in life is run after it.
Move forward. Absolutely.
And trust yourself. If you fall down and it's a total loss, don't make the loss be a waste. And how do you do that? Evaluating your experiences, asking yourself, what am I learning? And include mentors and coaches that are successful in that learning process so that you can continue to get better every week, every month, and every year.
Absolutely. Ed Milette said it the other day when we were listening to him. He said, get started. Even if you don't know all the steps, start moving.
And you're never going to know all the steps.
Nope.
I apologize to my engineer friends and my overthinkers, but... life is not understood looking forward. It's only understood looking backwards. Right. And so that's a wrap for this episode. But we want to encourage you that the mess is your message. And you're the most qualified person to teach who you used to be.
Oof.
And so I stole that from Ed Milette.
I know, I have it.
But I wish I could take credit for that. But, you know, I want you guys to remember, and our hearts are that you understand that going through the challenges and people doubting you or doubting your business or doubting your abilities, even if they're the closest to you, sometimes those are the ones that hurt the most because you expect your family to at least believe in you. And they might not, but you know what? Why should they? They haven't necessarily seen you become all that you can be yet because you're not done. You're not a human done, you're a human being.
Exactly.
So find people that do believe in you and sync your link up arms with them, but you believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Be proud of yourself. Be the main character of your story. Go out there and do some main character type stuff this
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. That is so good.
We love you.
Until next episode. Thanks for being part of our family.